I worked for an admiral one time. He said, there's two things I can't stand. One is somebody who doesn't take his job seriously, and the other is someone who takes himself too seriously. I thought that was good advice, even in Christian things. So I take what we're going to do very seriously. But I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm different than I used to be. I hope none of you knew me when I used to be. But I thought I was having fun in the world, but I was just a dead man walking around waiting to die. As an unsaved person, you die twice. You're dead while you're alive, and then you die. Much nicer to be a born-again person than be born twice and see the joy of Christ. Don said the other day, the point of my ministry, how we can have happy, joyful fellowship. He thought, well, after we've been beaten over the head with holiness all week, it might be nice to end the meeting with a kind of a high spot. Well, I don't know about you, but the minute... So I went back and rewrote my message last week. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, the ministry this week has, I've asked a lot of people what they thought, and, you know, a ministry for a week on holiness could really be like that, you know. It hasn't been like that at all. It's been just as uplifting and encouraging. Haven't you felt that way? A little whiff of heaven, huh? Just a little whiff of heaven. And it shows you that holiness isn't some old, dragged-down, you know, long-jawed yuck, you know? Holiness is what it's all about. Our Savior was holy. And can you imagine hanging out with Jesus? You know, what that would have been like. Well, we're going to be looking at, we've got very short time, so forgive me. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Don said, I'm very short of time, and I can only take back 2 minutes for every minute I was shorted. So we're going to have to, we'll try to. I have to confess, I have a whole suitcase full of thoughts, and I put them on paper, and they came out in an outline, and it's just a whole bunch of disconnected stuff. And I told my wife before I came up, I said, I don't know how I'm going to make anything out of this, you know? And so maybe that's why the Lord has cut our time down. And so we're going to cut through the suitcase and just sort of hit the high points, and I trust it'll encourage and edify and give you a little something you can take back. So 1 John chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Tell you a little story before we start. There was a couple on the way on a trip, and they pulled into a gas station, a full-service station, one of those unheard commodities that are around anymore, except in Pennsylvania. And a fellow came out and filled the gas and washed the windshield, and when he was done, the driver said, the windshield's still dirty. So the fellow got his rag out and washer and washed it again. And with a lot of aggravation, the man said, the windshield's still dirty. Don't you know how to wash a windshield? And his wife reached over and took his glasses off, and behold, the windshield was clean. Well, I submit to you that sometimes in a fellowship, that's why there's no joy in our fellowship. It's not that the problem is over there. It's that maybe the problem is right here. Now, I know I'm not talking to you. I'm probably just talking to me. Things in West Virginia aren't like they are in South Louisiana, I'm sure. Is this being taped? Not like they are in Mississippi. I have to go home. But you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I came out of a worship meeting one day at our home assembly, and I told Joanne, I said, that was absolutely the worst worship meeting I've ever been in my life. It just stunk. I mean, the scriptures were crummy, the music was crummy, there wasn't a good thing about that worship. It just stunk. I can't believe, I mean, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I was counting the minutes. My brother walked up to me in the foyer. I hadn't even cleared the building yet. Fellow walked up to me in the foyer and he said, wasn't that great? Well, you know where the problem was. It wasn't in the worship. It was in the heart of the worshiper. How to have joy and happiness in our meetings. I think the key is having joy and happiness in the people who are meeting. Here we get some biblical hints to it, and we'll just zing through these quickly, and then maybe talk about some practical applications of biblical principles. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Who is that? Who is that? Awake. Who is this describing? The Lord Jesus, isn't it? I brought up here a picture of my wife. You can't see it very well, but I'll have to tell you. But this is my wife. This is my wife. She's 5'4". She weighs 101 pounds. She's got blonde hair, blue eyes. She's a Swede. Yeah. Can't you tell the love in my heart? I love my wife. Have you ever been at a worship meeting where we've talked about the Lord kind of the same way? I mean, there's nothing wrong with the facts. But you know, let me tell you about my wife. My wife is the apple of my eye. I love her. She's my sweetie. She's got a little nose. And every time I look at it, it just makes me giggle because it's a little bitty nose. She wears glasses, and it's hard for her to... This is the truth. She's right here. It's hard for her to keep her glasses on because her nose is so little. And she's just the right size. She's just the right weight. She's just the right hair. There's just nothing about her that... She's just wonderful. She's my wife. And I love her to death. You know, when you're really in love with the object of your affection, and you talk about that one, she's special. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, and what we've seen, and we've intently looked on him, and our hands have handled him, he's the word of life. He's eternal life. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Man, am I in love with him. Can you smell him? The smell of myrrh on the knob of the door. He's almost here. He's almost here. Can you wait to see him? Can you wait to look on his face? Oh, that'll be glory for me. It isn't that there's anything wrong with the facts. We got to know the facts. But even more important is we got to know the one whom the facts are about. Can you hear the words of the Shulamite woman? Oh, my beloved. Oh, he's ready. He's chiefest among 10,000. As the apple tree in the forest. That's what he's like. He's different than any other there is. I can smell the morning dew on him when he comes in. He's my beloved. He's my friend. This is our Jesus. This is our Jesus. And not only is he all man, but he's all God. That which was with the Father, he was from the very beginning. And he's been manifested to us. He's made known to us. How is it with you? You can't remember somebody you don't know. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I'm telling you. Or if you're just humdrumming along, you're missing the cherry on the ice cream sundae of life that we have the privilege every Lord's Day. I used to go in, when I was in the big church, don't even talk to me about church growth. If there's any church, I won't ask for a show of hands. But I've been there, done that. The church I grew up in, 20,000 members. We had more people in the parking lot direction traffic than most assemblies I go to have. And twice a year, we'd go and take communion, and we'd kneel down at this little rail, you know? We'd put our hands in our back, we'd stick our tongue out like a dog at a trough. And there was no loved one there. It was just doing a ritual. And we have the privilege of coming every Lord's Day and not sitting down like a dog at a trough, but coming to our beloved and telling him how much we love him. My beloved, 5'4", blue eyes, blonde hair. Amen. I'm not being critical. But we can be at the trough with our tongue out every Sunday. It isn't about what we do. It's about who we're with. Our Lord and our Savior. The one who died for us. Little bloody feet going up a hill. Little bloody hands hanging on a cross. Because down through the tunnel of time, he could see you. And he could see you having the privilege of sitting at his feet and saying, Lord Jesus, how I love you. You're the apple of my eye. Here's a song that reminds me of you. Oh, that will be glory to me. Here's a little passage that reminds me of you. He was wounded for my transgressions. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. Here's a little poem I wrote. Here's a psalm that David wrote. And I just want to please you, Lord, and let you know how much I love you. You may have heard this story before. I tell it because it breaks my heart. A number of years ago, Joanne and I had the privilege of leading a young man and his wife to the Lord. He came one Sunday morning and he called us up right after meeting and said, I've got to talk to you. We went over and he said, you know, I went this morning, I was like a kid on the outside of a candy shop window. Everybody in there had all the sweets and I was on the outside. Leading him to Christ, leading his wife to Christ was like pulling an already baked cake out of the oven. It was done. He came to Christ marvelously. The next Sunday, he came to worship. He'd never been in a church in his life. And he showed up in bright yellow, skin-tight Bermuda shorts. And a black Dijon Mama t-shirt. You know, the t-shirt with no sleeves in them? Skin-tight. He may have had a motorcycle in my back. I can't remember now. But anyway, you get the idea. He sat right behind me. And as worship went on, all of a sudden he stood up. And he read a poem that he had written to the Lord. And I sat and wept as he told the Lord what it meant to have him die for him. And it wasn't sad tears, it was joyful tears. As a brand new baby said, I love you, Dad. And after the meeting was over, one of the men in the meeting rushed over to him and I thought, oh, isn't this good? But the man in the meeting, one of the elders at that time, told him how inappropriately he was dressed. And how inappropriate it was to read poetry at the worship meeting. It broke my heart. It was a baby I'd just given birth to. Everything he said was right, you know. but he'd missed the point of what was going on in the presence of God that day. It was a brand new baby who had just barely gotten enough strength to crawl in there. And you men know how hard it is to stand up in a meeting and say anything. And here's a brand new one standing up, and he had written a poem to tell Jesus how much he loved him. Well, I hadn't been saved that long, you know. I'm an old sailor. I had this idea about adding a new definition to pastoral visit that night. But we did discuss some of the poems that David had written to his Lord. And we did discuss how maybe the Lord, when he was in a house, probably had bare feet after he took his sandals off. And how maybe we should focus on the person of Christ rather than that every jot and tittle be covered just exactly right. Well, the critic is off in a denominational church now. He's a puppet elder. You know, the kind where the pastor goes like this and he comes up and serves the tray, you know. That's probably where he belongs. Is this being recorded? No. Send him a copy of this. But I'll tell you what, the criticized young man never took part in worship again. Brothers and sisters, there's more to worship than just doing it the right way. We need to guard the table. We need to do it the right way. But we need to make sure that the love of Christ is the center and the focus of it all. All that other stuff will come along, you know. Skin-tight Bermuda shorts probably aren't that comfortable anyway, you know. That'll go away. And the Beach Your Mama t-shirt, that'll go away. All that stuff. The Lord has a way of changing those things, doesn't he? And I'll tell you, I don't know the meeting that you're in, but in our meeting, we see lots of folks saved every year. Brand new believers coming into fellowship. And they don't know what to do, you know. They just come and they do it because they've never done this before. And they do stuff wrong sometimes. But you know, when your child does something wrong, you don't just smack him. You kind of come alongside and encourage him along and, you know, maybe buy him the right thing or take him out, have coffee and talk about things. And they'll pick us up in time, you know. And some of those habits of the world, they'll go away. But you know, the Lord gave us time, didn't he? The Lord was gracious to me, I'll tell you that. And he's gracious to others. And I need to be careful that I exercise as much grace with others as he exercised with me. This is my Savior. This is my beloved. That which we have seen, verse 3, and heard, declare we unto you. Why? That you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowships with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Where do you find joy in a local fellowship? In fellowship. Now, somebody's described fellowship as two fellows in a ship, you know. That's not very good. My wife and I'm a sailor. Some of you know that. I'm not only by former sailor, but also sailboat sailor. I'm a licensed captain and all this kind of stuff. My wife and I were on a cruise one time, and I thought I'd take her for a romantic voyage in our dinghy. And so we got in the dinghy. It's romantic. Come on, give it that there. We got in the dinghy, and I wanted to sit next to her, you know, so I could whisper sweet nothings in her ear as we went around the harbor together. And so she sat in the seat here, and I sat in the seat here. She took one oar, I took the other oar. It was a disaster. Boat went this way, and then went this way. It wasn't as romantic as I had hoped for. Well, you know, two fellows in a ship, that's sometimes how our meetings are. They go this way, and then they go this way, and so it starts out to be a romantic voyage, ends up to be... I took over the rowing, and then as I was rowing, I would say sweet nothing, see? It turned into a romantic voyage. We each did our part. I did all the work. She sat in the back and looked pretty. Fellowship really is that, isn't it? It's joint participation. Each one doing what they can do. And the apostle here says that we declare Christ unto you for a purpose. And the purpose is that we might have joint participation with each other and with him. And when we come together in the body, don't forget that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's holy. And so it matters how I treat you and how you treat me. And when you come together, don't forget that the body is holy. So it matters how we treat each other, doesn't it? In fact, it's so important. God says a warning to us that says, whoever spoils this body, him will I spoil. Sometimes you've got to just look for good and overlook ill. And press on, because there's more at stake here than my getting my way. Or there's more at stake here than me doing it my way. Or everybody dressing like me, or everybody looking like me, or singing my song, or whatever. The point is, we work together with God. The Holy Spirit working in your life, and the Holy Spirit working in my life. And together we get this variegated body of Christ. And it's being done so that the angels that are looking on, Brother covered this the other day, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known in the church. The angels are looking on. They looked on in heaven when Lucifer rebelled, and they said, look at this! Look at this! Rebellion against God! Oh, no! And they watched in the garden. Rebellion against God! Maybe the devil's right. Maybe God doesn't know what he's doing. And the cloak has fallen to us. And as we meet in the body, the angels look on and they say, look at this. God really knows what he's doing. It works in the church. Because the rules aren't written on stone anymore. They're written on our hearts. It's the new covenant. The new way of doing it. God loves you. And you love him. And consequently, when you love somebody, you'll just do anything to please them. And when my brother steps on my foot, I can say, ouch, that felt good. It wasn't that bad a step. And besides that, he's got new shoes. He probably didn't feel it. I need to work at keeping harmony in the body, don't I? It's my job to make it work. Why? Because the angels are watching, and they're watching me. I can tell you of a meeting where two elders had ill against each other for over 30 years. They sat on opposite ends of the building from each other. And they couldn't understand why the meeting didn't grow. Duh. I guess I can you say that here? Duh. Listen, if you had a baby sheep, would you put it in a pen that's all messy? No. I guarded my language in that. If I was home, I'd say that a little different way, but you get the idea. Even your bird, you clean the cage once in a while, right? We need to make sure that our cage is clean. And that our cage is clean. Because it matters. God is watching. The angels are watching. Watching how we do it. And maybe the very fact that my brother stepped on my foot was a test for me. To see how well I do. And after all, this then is the message, verse 5, that we heard of him. What is that message? We're going to declare it to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He could have left that off, couldn't he? But it's important, isn't it? Well, you see this book. Now notice it's not how I walk. It's where I walk. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all evil. It isn't how we walk. We're not walking according to the light. We'd have to be sinless then. We're walking in the light. In other words, everything in my life made open and exposed to you. How would you like every corner of your life put up on a screen in front of this all-dressed body? Here's the question. That's how we all live. Now, I'll tell you, brother and I, not that I've arrived, but that's how we all live, walking in the light, so that every corner of our life can be exposed to the light of God and his word, out in the open, nothing hidden. And you know, when nothing's hidden, nothing can be held against you. When everything's in the open, there's nothing to have hard feelings about. Oh, I offended you? I'm sorry. I had no idea. I didn't mean to. I know a brother who will not apologize. because he says it's just as wrong to take offense as it is to give one. Duh. So we can walk around and step on each other's toes and just say, well, it shouldn't hurt. Would you put a brand new baby sheep in a fold like that? No. Because next time it may be the baby sheep that gets hurt. We need to walk in the light. Well, our time is way gone. I can't even find my notes. I didn't take them out. I do have my wife's picture. This is how the world... I have a lady at our chapel that... I know, I'm going. I'm almost there. I threw out most of it. He's holding up four orange cards. One says 1 minute, one says you're done, the other one says you're dead. I have a lady who clips clippings to encourage me at our chapel. She knows it chafes me, it's what's going on in the church, so she cuts these little clippings. I find them in my basket, see, or in my wherever. This one says, the new thing. Churches around the country are seeking new ways to attract followers, joy in their fellowship. You get it. The Family Christian Center in Munster, Indiana, has opened a Starbucks in the lobby of their non-denominational church to create a more inviting atmosphere. The Brentwood Baptist Church in Houston is set to open a McDonald's. And in Wells, Maine, lest you Easterners feel left out, the Messiah Christian Center has an on-site fitness center to make people joyful. This passage says that joy comes from the joy giver, the person of Christ. Peter saw the Lord on the water and he said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. In other words, wow, awesome. As far as I know, he's the only other person to walk on water. Cool, huh? That'd get, he's probably still talking about it. Oh, yeah, James and John, you walk on the water ever? You think I'm a loudmouth? Well, at least I walked on water. They saw him on the shore. Who is that? Young John says, it's the Lord. Peter jumps in the water. I got to get to him. Excitement over the person of Christ. It's the Lord. I can't wait to be with him. New souls. There's joy in heaven in the presence of angels over one soul that repents. That's God joyful over somebody getting saved. Oh, you got saved? Well, oh good. Praise the Lord. We should be as joyful as God is over it, shouldn't we? We ought to get excited about these things. I don't mean flippantly, and I don't mean lightly. But we ought to be excited over our salvation and the salvation of others. And you know, sometimes it's easy to just get into the rut. How do you have joy and happiness in your local fellowship? Fill it up with joyful, happy people. People who appreciate their salvation. And people who appreciate the one who saved them. And live for him. Walk in the light. So there's no corner hidden in our lives. And every moment when people see you, or they're near you, they get a little whiff of the fragrance of Christ. And we'll have happy, joyful fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you great thanks for this whole week together. What a blessing. Help us, Father, to go home like Moses with the glow of Christ on his face. Help us, like the two on the Emmaus Road, to go home and say, oh, how our hearts burned within us as he walked with us in the way. Help us, like Mary and the other ladies, to leave the empty tomb with great joy and go and tell others. Help us, Lord, like the disciples, to see him and rejoice over him. Help us as those on the Mount of Transfiguration to see him only. Help us as those at the Mount of Ascension to watch him and watch for his return. Stand gazing into heaven, waiting for him to come. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, to fall in love afresh with that man of Calvary, our blessed Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray.